Welcome to the gathering. This is a super special place for me as I was a student here, started in 1999. Actually, the gathering was the first thing I came to on my first visit at Hope. I stayed overnight and I came to a gathering and was really the reason I wanted to come to Hope. I can remember sitting in a back pew back in there at area. So I'm super excited to be with you tonight. Hey, tonight, Kerrigan Brown, a senior, is gonna read our scripture. From James for us.
James 1, 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear what you have for us tonight and feet to walk into where we need to go. And hands that are willing to serve. In your holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
I can still remember the day that I finally got it. I had been working for so long to buy the car that I really wanted. I had searched online for months trying to pick out just the right color and just the right car. And then I found it. It was the 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Edition. Islander Edition, surf blue pearl, not just blue, surf blue pearl. It had tiki dolls on the seats and little inlays. It was like everything I ever wanted. And I was so excited that our family decided to take it everywhere. We decided to drive it on a road trip, which was really uncomfortable in the back seat, all the way to Colorado and the national parks in Wyoming. We drove it down to South Florida and the palm trees and Fort Myers and Naples area, and even the northern Michigan and Wisconsin in the snow. And I loved every part of getting to take that Jeep wherever I wanted. It was my baby. You guys have anything like that of yours? I even put 48 stickers on it, like any true hipster would, just to make it my own. But as I used this car, as our family used this car and drove it all over, even though it still looked beautiful and nice on the outside, you know, as cars do, they start to get old and they start to need some maintenance. So as any good Jeep owner did, I believed that it was my job to fix my own Jeep, right? So when the brakes began to go out and make that noise, anybody had that brake noise that you can hear? When the brakes went out, I said, hey, I'm gonna fix my own brakes with my brother-in-law. And so we took off all the wheels, got new pads and rotors, did everything with the lines, and we began to fix the brakes on our own. You can see in this next picture, I was so proud, I even posted it to the gram for all the people that I influence, all 73 of them. These comments are hilarious. I'll be right over, I want mine changed too, and I don't even wanna know how much grease that beard took in. But I did it, I fixed it, and I was so stinking proud of myself. Until a couple weeks later, my brother-in-law, as a gift to him and my sister, we decided to go to a concert in the city of Chicago. So we hopped in that Jeep And we got on the highway and we began to drive and speed up and accelerate. And I can remember putting my foot on the brake and it just going straight to the floor. I pumped over and over, hoping to stop the momentum, but there was literally nothing stopping us. Tonight at the gathering, we are going to finish our semester long conversation about the fruit of the Spirit. You can look at it with us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and finally, self-control. And here we are at self-control, and I don't know about you, but I feel like our chaplain chose me to do this because I'm the one who needed to hear the message the most. Self-control. I try to stop myself from doing the things I don't want to do, but more often than not, I feel like I'm a Jeep driving down a highway, trying to pump the brakes, and nothing's given. If you're anything like me, maybe you struggle with self-control as well. Maybe you have some small victories here and again, but then you keep doing those things that you don't want to do. Maybe your lips are loose when they shouldn't be. Maybe you look at something when you shouldn't. Maybe you're in Phelps and you want the salad bar, but instead you go for the wrap. You guys know what I mean. But there's good news. We are not alone. The same author of this letter, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church in Galatia, wrote also to Romans, and he says this, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. For I have that desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Maybe you're like me and you feel that way sometimes. Herein lies the conundrum of trusting in the will of the human spirit and the consequences of our sinful nature. That is why it is so important that we find our strength not in our ability to fix ourselves, but in the truth of the gospel that the victory has already been won on the cross by Jesus Christ. And if we can rest in his love and grace and mercy and believe in him, then he has the power to transform our lives. We talk about this fruit of the Spirit, but no fruit just produces by itself. It must start by being connected to a source of life, which is the tree. And that is what Jesus references when he's talking to his closest friends in John 15. Good fruit only comes from a healthy tree. And Jesus implores them to remain connected to him. He uses the language abide and remain. To abide is both a passive and an active exercise. Abiding means resting in the truth that God's love and mercy is real, and we don't have to do anything for God to love us more. But abiding is also this active thing that literally means to do it now, to do it again, to do it now, to do it again. You must wake up every day and choose to remain connected to that source of life. You see, we have the ability to choose to say in the midst of a busy day, I will abide and remain connected to a God that creates space. In the midst of crippling anxiety, I will abide and remain connected to a God that gives peace that surpasses understanding. In the midst of loneliness, I will abide and remain connected to a God that promises to never leave us. In the midst of dominance, oppression, and control, I will abide and remain connected to a God who carries out justice. In the midst of constant temptation of pornography and the lures of sexual gratification, I will abide and remain connected to a God that can wash as pure and as white as snow. And in the midst of fear, I will abide and remain connected to a God that promises to fight on our behalf. If you can show that picture of the back of my Jeep again. I don't know if you can see, it's to the right side of the wheel, right above the bumper. There's a bumper sticker on there, and it says, "The Dude Abides." That's on my car. It's actually a quote from a movie. Anybody know the movie? The Big Lebowski. It's a quote from a movie, The Big Lebowski, but it's also a declaration that I've made myself in my life that that is the only way, in any sense of the word, that I can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit is that if I remain connected to this true source that provides good fruit, the Spirit living and working in me. As we close out our time together in the fruit of the Spirit, it is incredibly important not only to define this idea of self-control, but reflect how we can live it out in our own lives and share it with others. According to the ancient Greek philosophers, this word, self-control, in Galatians, is pronounced enkentreia, enkentreia. That's right. And it's the ability to control one's passions and instincts. And in that time, the Greeks actually believed that that was not only a virtue in life, but the chief virtue, the chief ability in life was if you were able to control your instincts, then all else would follow. If you could just do what you say you want to do and live it out in your daily life, then you had achieved some moral high ground. But the truth is the matter is that we are sinners in need of grace. And the only way to truly live into that, as Paul talks about, is to live by the Spirit. The opposite of self-control is living as if they would describe a beast to the bait. A beast to the bait. Imagine a predator with a prey right in front of them. You can see where this leads, doing whatever we want, whenever we want. You can see where it leads. All sorts of dire consequences. As I began to think about the areas in our lives, we are in desperate need of temperance. I began to think about things in my life and yours, and I wonder if you resonate with these. Our eyes, our hands, our feet, our bellies, our ears, our hearts, our minds, and our mouths, our eyes. Where and what do we spend our time looking at? Our hands, what do we hold? What do we let go of? What do we touch? And with what force do we use them with? Our feet, where do we walk in and out of? And how long do we linger there? Our bellies, what do we consume? And how much? Our ears, who is it and what is it that we're listening to? Where are we gaining wisdom from? Our hearts, what do we give them to and at what cost? Our minds, what are we dwelling on? How long are we dwelling on it? And our words, how are we speaking about other people? How are you speaking about yourself? in both the open and the secret places. Tonight, I want you all to know that the Spirit of the living God is living and active even now, transforming each and every one of us. But that same God wants us desperately to pursue holiness in these crucial areas of our lives. As I look back to the scripture in James that talks about self-control, I feel like it has some wisdom for us tonight. In verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Did you hear it? One of the first steps in self-control is to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick, slow, slow. I have learned that the best place to start to listen is to God first. Quick to listen. Oftentimes when we hear this, we think, oh, if I'm quick to listen to others, then everything will follow. But no, rather, if we're quick to listen to the God of the universe, the one who created all of these things, then that can help us as we go about our days. The more time I spend listening to God in prayer, in his word, with his people, in his creation, the more I am in control of my ability to listen to others, to regulate, to pump the brakes on my need to exert myself into situations, the need to be heard, the need to get my way, and the less I am angry about the things I can't control. When we listen to God, he also gives us the eyes to see others and the ears to hear them and the patience to do so. Next, in verse 20, James goes on by speaking like a true Chicagoan, which I'm from, and he bluntly just says, get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. You can look around like all of us. You can see it. You can see the evil. You can see the corrupt nature, the things that eat away at our hearts and souls. We see it. Let's get rid of it. Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled by the Spirit. Let's actively seek to get rid of the things in our lives that are cutting off our ability to exhibit holy living. When we live by our spirit and not our flesh, we fill ourselves with good things. When we do what we want, when we want, to whomever we want, it produces dire consequences. And then this line in verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you. Learning to live by the Spirit means truly believing that God's mercy and goodness in our lives is real. Remembering it. The truth that God has done the work on the cross and he has transformed us. We don't have to measure up. Rest in the fact that no matter where you've been or what you've done, he's forgiven you. Now out of that, go and live differently. I have this line that I love to say. It says, but by the grace of God, go I. But by the grace of God, go I every day. Every day I wake up reminding myself it's another day to look into the mirror and remember what God has done for me and then go live it out, as verse 25 says. Lastly, in this scripture in James, he says, pure and faultless religion is this, that we care for those in the most need and we pursue a holy life. It starts with listening. Get rid of the things that are holding you back. Don't look in the mirror and don't do what it says. Go live it out and put your faith into action. And then care for those in need and pursue a holy life. This is the Spirit of the Lord transforming us. When we look at our world, it's easy to see a lot of selfish people around. But what if we as Christians were people that exhibited the fruit of the Spirit? Think about those things. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. This chief virtue. You see, we have the perfect example of this in Jesus Christ, who came into a broken world and faced all the same things we did, and yet lived a perfect life, holy. He faced discrimination, betrayal by his best friends. He walked into a church that was defiled and selling itself. And yet he stayed self-controlled, even in the midst of death. My dear friends, what our God desires for you and what our world needs are people who remain in God's love, who are filled with God's Spirit, who listen first and speak second, who choose kindness over anger, who don't let the pursuit of sex be their ultimate goal, who care for those in the most need, and who wake up every day in pursuit of holiness. One last thought. Remember that God is the one transforming us, and it's a slow process. You're going to mess up. Even today at my soccer game, when I saw the referee not giving that yellow card for the girl who swung at one of our players, and I told him how I felt about that, I thought, tonight I'm going to be preaching on self-control, and I can't even do it myself. It's a slow process. But remember, it's exhausting trying to constantly fix yourself on your own. You know, the next time the brakes broke on my Jeep, I took it to an expert. I took it to a mechanic that knew what they were doing. It cost more money, it took longer, but at least I could rest in the fact that when I put my foot on the brake, I knew something was going to happen and it was going to come to a stop before death and destruction ensued. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.